We are in Perek Lamed Hey. We learned last Friday. Now we are up to Mefarshim Day for Perek Lamed Hey. So a few interesting nuggets that show up over the course of this Perek. So number one is Vayikel Moshe Eskol Adas Bnei Yisrael Biyom Reliyam. So Moshe gathered everybody together. So the Ramban right away asks, he says, wait a second, don't we always Vayikel Moshe Eskol Adas Bnei Yisrael? Isn't that like the thing to do? That everybody gathers together, whenever Hashem Moshe Limor, Daber Bnei Yisrael Limor, so that happens all the time. Why does this get a special mention of being a Vayikel, of gathering everybody together? So for this, you have, the Ramban points out that, you know, that parshas aren't in a vacuum, that they come, there's those that come before, those that come after. So what is the parsha right before this? He says, Yichlal, Kol Adas Bnei Yisrael Anashim Vanashim Ki Kulam Yisnadu B'Melechus HaMishkan. So all of them are included. Oh, I'm sorry, that wasn't the Ramban, that was the Or HaChaim. The Or HaChaim is the one who asked that question, so I'll go out of order. The Or HaChaim asks, why is it that we have to say Vayakel? Benir, and he says, Ki Lefsat Shiro, Ki Keren Or Pano Vayiru Megesha Seylov, Lezehu Tzuch HaHakilis Kulam Leval Yimnu Ksas Mihamor. He says, because remember, what happened in the previous section was that Moshe's face started glowing and everybody was afraid to have to put a mask and people were just afraid of him. So in order to, for the next meeting, it actually took some cajoling in order to get everybody out to go and meet Moshe. So that's what the Or HaChaim says is the pshat in Vayakel. The other thing that it says is Eskol Adas, everybody. So Eskol Adas is to exclude before, because when in Parshas Truma, when it said Me'ez kol ish, those are three words, all of which are unnecessary, or well, seemingly unnecessary. Could have just said, take my truma, we have known what it was. So the Or HaChaim says, well, me'ez kol ish, one was coming, well, based on Psukim, based on the Torah Shebaal Peh, he explains, Me'ez Kolish, one is coming to, they're coming to exclude Yisomim, Ketanim, Vinashim. Those are all coming to be included. Me'ez Kol, Be'ez Rebuyim. So we have here these two additional things. Why do we not have the third? Because the wealthy people, he didn't have to gather here. Over there, he had to mention them. I'm not sure why. There's a long Or HaChaim there that he alludes to. But the wealthy people, I might have thought, might not have been included. Maybe because they would have been asked for some kind of special dedication or something like that. So therefore, it comes to tell you that no, even the wealthy people have to give their half shekel, their donation. But here, in terms of gathering everybody together, they weren't the ones that had to be asked and pushed to come, because they knew that they'll give whatever they need to give. It was the other people that were nervous about coming, so they had to be given. So therefore, it's only two additional things here by Kemosha Eskol Adas. Eskol, those two words are added as opposed to Me'ez Kol Ish, as opposed to the three words that are mentioned earlier on. So anyways, that's the question.
So is it just men it's everybody?
It seems everybody based on a different thing the Or HaChaim says. Actually, the Or HaChaim continues on and says that maybe that's what's he quotes a Zohar and gives a second shot and says maybe that's what's being taught here. That everybody gathered together, the men and the women. And not only the men and the women, but the men separate from the woman. That's what he quotes from the Zohar. That he gathered the men to separate them from the Nekevos, because that was necessary here. That's what it seems to me, yeah. They called the men in one place and the women in the other place. And they didn't come together. Yeah.
Does it mean
they're
a different time?
No, it doesn't.
No, I don't think it was a different time. I'm wondering what that means for other things. I mean, so is that unique here? Is it not unique here? Not sure. I mean, what happened when he gave shear? So did the woman come? Were the woman allowed to come? Did they sit with the husband? And that's with the husband? I'm not sure.
Do we understand that this is any kind of first inference?
I don't know. I don't think so. I don't know. I don't recall it ever coming up in the Mechitza controversy books, the stories. Yeah.
Trace it back to the
yes, but that's later on. So right. Is this maybe an original? This is before. So could we maybe...
This is never recited.
I'm always nervous to say never. Apparently there's a Zohar that talks about the men and women being separate at this point. So that's okay. A proof that they had to be separate. Okay. Part of the argument there is, which is unique, is that even though they're separate, does there have to be mechitza? So there's no evidence of that here that I know of. Okay, so the Ramban, however, what I meant to say was, Yichla kol adas b'nei Yisrael hanashim hanashim ki kulam hisnagu b'mlechas ha-mishkan, because all of them donated to the mlechas ha-mishkan. Now, b'nei Moshe achar tzivil aron v'anisim v'chol b'nei Yisrael hanashim asher kol asher diber Hashem asu b'har Sinai acharei shvor haluchos, that he... that after he had given those commandments, now he's coming and giving it again after the breaking of the luchos. That's what the Ramban is coming and telling you. You have to gather everybody after the breaking of the luchos. V'nasan al panav ha-misva, and after he put the thing on his face, the covering on his face, Chazer v'tzili goes back and commands them again. V'kiri lav kol ha-yidah anashim v'anashim, and he gathers everybody together. V'itachin shahaya zeb biyom macharas radaso. And it is suggested that this took place when the day after he came down. He comes down the day before. That's when we learn about all of a sudden he's got this light coming out of his face. Everybody goes, ah! What?
He's done the second time.
This is the third time, probably. But yeah, he comes down for the final time. That's the end of the Parshas Ki Tisa. So then the Parshas Vayakel opens up. Things have changed. He has to gather everybody together. So this is the day after that. That's the Ramban's suggestion. He says, Va'amar, l'kulam inyan ha-mishkan asher nitzdava bo mitchila kodem shvor luchos. And now we're getting them together to teach or command about the Mishkan, which he had started before the breaking of the luchos, which is against Rashi. As you pointed out, the Ramban says that the Torah is following an order here, that Moshe commands, or Moshe is commanded about the Mishkan, then the Chet HaEgel happens, and then Moshe teaches them about the making of the Mishkan. Rashi says that no, it's in a different order. First comes the Chet HaEgel, then comes the teaching of the Mishkan, then comes the making of the Mishkan, and it is an in muktam u'muchar v'torah. So this is one of the classic machlokasim that you have between them. So the Ramban is making a clear case that's not the case. Kiven sheni sratzalem ha-kadosh baruch v'nasen lo aluchu sh'niyas v'karz yimo bris chadash sh'elach ha-sham b'kerbam, that they made this new pact such that Hashem should go with them, and yechazu ha-kim la'avokla, some of you want to come and gather them in with love and kulo, some for their wedding, for their gatheringness. Uviyadua shetiyah shechina b'socham, now they know the shechina is going to be with them, and therefore we have Asul Mikdash v'shachanti b'socham, we invoke that pasuk, and everything is going to be wonderful.
Ramban says that the Mishkan was Plan A.
Yes. That is the implication of that book. Yes, very good. Does that mean that Rashi really thought that there wasn't going to be a Mishkan? Well, if you just think about it, yeah, why not? They were going to get the Torah and they were going to go into Israel a couple months later. So what do you need a Mishkan for? Or the fact that it was going to be a little bit longer, that perhaps is what generated the need for a Mishkan. That would be Rashi's pshat. The Ramban says, no, there was going to be a Mishkan all along. Remember, there's going to be a few years they have to conquer Eretz Yisrael also. It's not going to happen so quickly either. But 14, and then to divide it up as well. So he's talking 21 years. All right. So that is issue one. Now the second big issue, of course, of this parak is that of the laws of Shabbos being taught. So there is a bit of a question as to what is the pshat of that last pasuk? You shouldn't light any fire. So Rashi quoted the machlokas in the Gemara. The Rashbam sort of takes a side. The Rashbam gives a pshat. He says no. The Rashbam is always trying to give the pshatiest pshat of and beat out Rashi. So Lefi says the Rashbam, Lefi should be yamin tovim ksiv asher yochel l'chol nefesh hu levado yes alachem. When it comes to yantif, you're allowed to light fires. You're allowed to do things for the purposes of ochel nefesh. Shusham chutra havaras eish lafos levashel. There they permit the lighting of fire for cooking and for baking. Aval b'Shabbos k'siv es asher teifu afu mibo'od yom v'es asher tivashlu v'shalu, that we have, this is earlier on, that which you have cooked, you've already cooked, meaning whatever is done before Shabbos is done, and you're not allowed to do it on Shabbos itself. L'kach mazik ki b'Shabbos lo tivareish l'malach ha-sochel nefesh. So therefore we have the extra warning here that just because it's permitted for yantif, it's not permitted for Shabbos. So all malachos are prohibited, especially that one you might have thought would be permitted. that's going to be prohibited. Yeah.
I understand. You can't light a kettle on fire, you know, for on Yom Tov.
Right. Why not?
You can't start it, you can transfer it.
So first of all, transferring is considered the malacha of lighting. Okay. Now, it is a problem of lighting a new fire. Why that is a big mystery, is somewhat of a mystery as to why that is. It would be only be Nisa Derabanan. It's not Nisa Derabanan, it's only Nisa Derabanan. And right, the prohibition of Havara is making a light bigger and smaller also. So there's just a problem of lighting a new one. So... So Sforno has a slightly different understanding. He says, "Afal pisha avhara ba'atzim he kilkul al rov." He says, "No, this needs extra oomph because, generally speaking, lighting a fire is under the category of kilkul. Kilkul means it's a destroying act. So generally, a kilkul is only an iser is either mutter or an iser derabanan. It needs to be a constructive malacha, not a destructive malacha. So Sforno says lighting a fire might be considered a destructive malacha, but it's not the case. Sometimes it is. If it's destructive, it's destructive. But lighting a fire could also be very constructive. That is constructive for things as well. Aluman he is servish. Fine. So that's the Sforno. The Rashbam says a little bit more. The Ramban in his pshat says a little bit more. He quotes from the Mechilta and continues on and says, "V'kzek karov l'masha amarnu shelo hayu malachus halalu shein hanira legufim b'chal iser arishim." That I may have thought that these malachos, which are for the benefit of a person, are not actually included in that first thing. V'ratza Rabbi Nassan Lomar, Rabbi Nassan, who is the one who says lusavar arish means. It had to be taught separately. So he wants to say Shlo Hutzra Hakasuv Lesor Afiu Bishul Vishart Sarchi Ochnakash, that the Torah didn't need to prohibit cooking and baking and other needs. Shekvar Amar Lahem as a Shir Tefuafu. We already knew that from earlier from Perek Tes Zayin Pasuk Chaf Gimel. That is in Parshas Bishalach. Aval Adayim Kom Lachos Adam Nena Behen VeEinan Osen Ella Hanal LeGuf. But maybe I would have thought that any malacha that a person benefits from, and the only reason they're doing it is for their own enjoyment, such as lighting candles or washing. Washing themselves, becoming in hot water. I mean, they want to light candles so that they would have light, or so that they're able to give themselves a nice hot bath. You mutars, maybe that would be mutter. Bikizem mi oneg Shabbos. That's considered oneg Shabbos. Right. Why did the rabbis want to prohibit, or why did the Torah want to prohibit all the good things that we could do on Shabbos? Right? So it's coming, I might have thought that maybe those things are mutter because they're quote unquote good things or things that I could enjoy. Lekach nemer, lo zavar reish, lo zavar kol. Therefore, it's coming to prohibit an additional thing. That's interesting. That's against the Gemara. The Ramban is quoting that. That's from what's called the Mechilta. The Mechilta is the halachic medrash on the book of Shmos. Okay? So it's kind of an additional thing, as opposed to the Gemara that learns out for specific halachos, which the Ramban goes and quotes that Gemara as well. But there's an additional suggestion that I might need this pasuk to teach. Don't think that maybe malachos are mutter when you're going to get direct benefit from them. I would have had that thought. So therefore comes this pasuk to tell you, no, that's not, even those things aren't going to be allowed either. All right, so onwards, what else do we got? So the Ramban, there's a Ramban in Pasuk Chaf Aleph. So vayavohu kol ish asher nesa'o libo, v'chol asher nadvarucho. That all the people whose heart stirred, and whose spirit was willing. That's Pasuk Chaf Aleph, verse 21. So what's the difference between a nesa'o libo and a nadvarucho? They sound like the same type of person. A giving soul. Did you... Oh, this is weird. There was a big clock and then all of a sudden a little clock. Got it. Alright. So Asher Nisa Olibo V'chol Asher Nvarucho. What's the difference between those two things? So Ramban says, Achachamim ha'usim melacha yomarkin. The Nisa Olibo, the ones whose hearts were stirred, that's talking about the wise people that did the work. No. The people that did the Melechas HaMishkan, that's who it's talking about. We don't find the term Nisio slave ever being used for those that give, that just give money. They're referred to as people that give. right? The tam asher nisu libo, the term your heart was raised, the karvel malacha, to come to have them come close to malacha, ki lo hayab bahem shulamad es hamalacha se'ilim imlamed, because none of these people knew how to do the work. As you can imagine the scene, Moshe has a sign-up sheet for all the people that are going to sign up for the various jobs of the Mishkan, and he says, okay, who's going to be the weaver? And you hear pretty much what you hear now, except for the rain. It probably wasn't raining at that time. But who's going to be? And he says, come on, nobody here can weave? And they say, Moshe, none of us know how to weave, man. We're oil guys. Coal, we're coal miners. We don't do weaving. And what ends up happening is that for... And, okay, well, who here knows how to do the work, the gold work? Moshe, you know, so these aren't. Oh yeah, we're guys who we're builders. We're not these types of artisans. We can't do this type of work. So what ends up happening? Moshe says, "Well, okay. Well, someone's got to do the work." And Nidvas Niso Libo was the person whose heart was raised. This is actually a great drasha for somebody's when you have to speak at a dinner about somebody. Got to remember this from Ramban for that. Right? Niso Libo was not just the one who gives the money and goes and does their thing. They're willing to try doing the work. And it doesn't just mean that they do what they're good at. They even do the things that they're not good at. They even are willing to... Now, Alan is a little nervous. I don't want to know if I want to give the jobs to people who don't... Right? But if nobody's available, so this person says, listen, nobody else can do it. I'll give it a try. I've never woven... I don't know a woof from a wimp.
Yeah.
I know. Well, yeah, I know even less. But yet, nevertheless, we're going to give it a try. We're going to give it a go, regardless. That's what it means to be a nasu libo. Ki lo haya behem shalom beres hamalach. They weren't nobody was able to teach them. Omishi imin behen yadav kal. They never worked on this. Aval matzah b'tavo sheyadu lasozkein. They figured it out. They worked from their teva to be able to do this. V'agal libo b'darchei Hashem lo v'tnei Moshe v'yomer lo ani aseki asher adoni dover. He says, I'll do whatever you say. I'll do my best. That's the difference between nasu libo and nadvarucha. Both are important, both are good, but they just have to be clear in what the two of them mean. Okay.
Sound wonderful.
Okay, so in Perek Lamed Hey, Pasuk Chavav. So it says, "V'chol hanashim esher nasa liban osanu b'chachma tavu esayizim." They wove, what does it mean with the thread? You spin. They spin the thread, right? They spin the thread. Yeah, so they spun the thread. But however, what do the words literally mean? Tavu esayizim. They spun the goats. That's literally what it means. Right? How do you have it translated? Pasuk Chafav? Lamed Hei Chafav? What?
Goat hair.
Right? But the words in the Chumash just mean they spun the goats, which actually does seem like an interesting thing to do. But it's unclear how that would benefit the building of the Mishkan. So Rashi quotes from the Gemara. Rashi says, "Sha'al gabe he'izim tavuyinosan," that they spun it on top of the goats itself. We'll repeat the joke. Anybody remember the joke I told last week about this? That Rabbi Steinberg's father davens in my in-law's shul. So he always, whenever I see him, he always has a few jokes for me. So he shared this one. Why is it that they did this? That they spun the... Rashi says they spun the hair, the thread, right off the goat's back. They didn't separate it first. They just spun it while attached to the goat. Why? Well, they asked the goat. The goat said, "Ah, it's no skin off my back." All right.
So this is the second time you told the joke?
Yes, I told it on Friday, but it is for your benefit, Alan. And for all those listening online.
I'm not sure we won a third time for us off.
So there's a famous Gemara about this, that Rashi is quoting here, that in order to build, that took extra wisdom to figure out how to spin threads while still attached to the back of the goat. Right? So this is Forno. That's really cool. We'll give it a round of applause, but why in the world are they doing that? What is the benefit to spinning the goat, the wool, as it comes off, well, no, wool comes
it's
off the machine.
It's not coming off. That's the point.
Well, eventually it came off.
Well, okay. No,
they spun it as it came off.
That's just braiding it.
It's just parallel Abraham.
Yes.
That's just braiding it on the goat.
Right.
You're not braiding
it. How does this compare Abraham and Lehi?
And if they do, you need a wool from a goat.
How are you allowed to wear a sweater?
No, I can say. Is that cruel to the animal? Like, I mean,
is wearing a sweater cruelty to animals?
No, you're pulling it. You're going like this. Ow! Ooh! First of all, I wonder how long was their hairs. How could you do that?
Apparently,
you gotta get into
they asked the goats about that. The goat said, "Hey, as long as there's no skin off my back."
That's right. That's what's up here.
So says the Sforno.
Yes.
That's good. That was the makasheh le Rabbi Steinberg's father. That was what was bothering him, is your question.
Yes.
That's the answer. The answer is no skin. Okay, so says the Sforno, why are they doing this? Me'al ha'izim kidivrayam. Leman yebitavoy zohar nosaf. Why? In order so that the spun... Well, it's not wool. What does it come off of? It's wool also? Okay, so in order so that the spun wool will have an extra gleam. An extra gleam, that's what the Sforno says.
So if you shear it first, it loses a gleam.
Well, he says, Ki baharbe mehapshutim. It says, many of the things that get removed, yimat ktsas metov ikusam kasher yakum akum kedulam. They lose a little bit of their shine when they're removed from their place of origin. Now, Sam is rolling his eyes because, listen, when he's growing up in Oil City, he got everything from the supermarket, so you don't recognize it. But it comes right off of the us farm folk. When I grew up in Hillcrest, I actually was the last remaining farm in New York City. Was near my house. I don't think it exists anymore. But on 73rd Avenue, past Utopia Boulevard, there was this farm that was still there. I remember reading an article about it. It's the last farm still in the city of New York. In Queens. Well, it's in New York City. Well, it's technically, it's on geographic Long Island.
Everything's
Long Island.
It's not Manhattan.
No, it was Queens. They say when my shul growing up, the youngest village of Hillcrest, when it was built, when it first started, there were really farms around. There were still people that were, I remember for the Jets fans in the room, I remember when they were going through the whole lobbying about whether to build the Jets stadium in Manhattan. They're going to consider building in Manhattan or in Queens. And there were these ads on the radio about this guy in a real Queens accent saying that we don't want this thing in Queens. Oh, sorry. It was we don't want it in Manhattan. It was a guy saying, we don't want it in Manhattan. Well, it's too crowded here already as it is. They go to Queens where there's wide open spaces. New Jersey. Oh, I'm sorry, I gotta say it wrong. He said, what do you think? This is Queens where we have wide open spaces? That was the line. Excuse me. Alright, they weren't considering moving to Queens. It was Manhattan or where it was. Alright, anyways, keep a hard bay map shooting yimat ksas me tobi kusam kasher yakrumim komul gadolim. So they lose some of their gleam. Why kemoshi yikra bidvash diburim uva asika uvechalav uvelzulasam. It gives three examples where the gleam is lost if you don't get it fresh.
Which is the whole point.
Number one, bee honey. Number two, cassia is cassia, which is some kind of cinnamon. Anybody familiar? Going once, going twice, I don't know. And the third one is milk. When milk comes out, apparently it has more of a... It's whiter. I don't know. There's this commercial though. I remember my favorite cereal commercial of all time was Pops. Remember the Gotta Have My Pops commercial? I gotta have my pops. It was a whole series. It was a whole difficult thing. I gotta have my pops with milk. That was part of the commercial. So they show these people in a farmhouse, and this guy wakes up early, and he finds corn pops. He pours his pool of corn pops. And he looks in the fridge. There's no milk. And he's looking all over the room. This is the commercial. I've looked for this on YouTube. I can't find it. But he's looking all over for this for milk. There's no milk. And then he sees on the top of the hill. So he figures, all right, what the heck? So he goes up and he's like trying to angle in. And these three other guys start looking from the window. They wake up. They go and goes to the other. Should we tell them that one's male? And the other one says, "Nah, I'm sure I'll figure it out." So that's the other one.
The fourth thing.
No, that's zulasim and things like it.
Well, the Sforno was talking about all these other things, but it's also this fourth thing:
bee, cassia, milk, and other things.
And goats.
Well, okay.
Oh, and goats, yes. No, three right. things okay. there, and our goats.
Yes.
Right. The bee honey, you'd have to ask our senator, Pat Toomey. Pat Toomey is apparently into beekeeping. You heard that? Right. You heard the interview. So we could ask him about the gleam of honey right out of the hive.
I think it's a question of the freshness in general.
The first guy to clown the numbers, right?
Yeah, but fresh off the hive is going to be different than processed store-bought stuff.
It's specific for a while.
Yeah.
You know, they got to put it in something, either seal it up or all this other stuff. You don't know what goes on. It puts the preservative in the store.
Okay.
Same kind of thing with goat hair.
By the way, why is honey even kosher if it comes from a bee? I think we gave a share on this once.
We
did it. All right. Check the tape.
It's why.
It's the only kosher food that comes from a
non-kosher
animal.
In any way. Right? That's any. Yeah. It's in any
it
way.
It's just processed.
Right.
Comes through the non-kosher.
Yeah,
right.
Probably.
Not like milk. You mean it's inherent? It could be a non-kosher.
Well, bees are not kosher. We have a concept called hayotzi mina usar. Anything that comes from prohibited things are prohibited. So, right, pig milk is usar. Right. So why is bee honey permitted? Right. So the answer is somehow it's whatever reason it's not generated
somehow
by the bee.
I'm
not prepared to speak about this. My wife's cousin Ari Lipsky wrote a whole paper on this a couple of years ago, and I think we used it for a shiur on Rosh Hashanah once upon a time.
Land of milk and honey, so it wouldn't have been.
Yes, the Gemara raises that. However,
it's
date honey.
Yeah,
it's talking about date honey. They quote that the other way. They quote that as, how do you know that milk is permitted if milk is coming from a living animal? Why isn't it Eivir Min HaChai? So the answer is Eretz Vaslav and Vash. How could it be called the land of milk if it's not kosher? Right. So that's for sure true. But the honey part is talking about date honey, so it doesn't work. Let's move it along here.
I guess the word
Pasuk Lamed has a very interesting thing. Perek Lamed, hey Pasuk Lamed, the Baal HaTurim says, Moshe says to Bnei Yisrael, see that I called Bezalel. Now, in fact, Moshe is in a way offering Bezalel up as a nomination. He's not actually declaring Bezalel as being the person. The Baal HaTurim says, why? It's a Gemara. Shein Mamidim Parnisal Tzibur El Midaitim. Actually, I think the Gemara quotes this Pasuk and says that that's the reason, that it uses it as a source for the idea that we don't hold the dictatorships that nobody should be in charge of the congregation unless the congregation so wills it. Another thing, Lahoros Nasan, yeah. So there is a orachayim on this that he was given the skills. Lahoros Nasan blibo huvel yavenach yisamach matei don. So to teach was placed in his heart. So says the Orach Chaim, Perish v'tzad sheish chachamim rabim, shetiach chachamtam v'libam levad. There are many wise people, they're very smart people, and very big tamidi chachamim, that have to keep their wisdom inside, shelo yadu lelamda, that they don't have the ability to teach. That's what's being added here in terms of this phrase for Bezalel and for Eliyav is that not only were they very wise, they also had the ability to give over. They could also teach, which was necessary because you had all these people trying to spin wool off of the back of a goat.
Yeah.
Right, so that's what's being learned here. And he says, Ode, Ba, also it comes to criticize, Mashemuva Perak Gimel de Yuma, which is, we learn in the third Perak of Yuma. What do we learn in the third Perak of Yuma? Shall Beis Garmu, Lo Ro, Lamed, Kol Maisei Lechem Apanim. That the Beis Garmu, they're the ones who had the secret of how to make the Lechem Apanim, and they wouldn't teach anybody. And the Gemara is very critical of those people. Similarly, Shall Beis Aftinos, Lo Ratsu, I forget what it was. There were three things. One is teaching how to make the Lechem Apanim, another one was how to make the Ketores, and the third one was like how to write with four pens at once or something. I gotta look up that Gemara. That's the third paragraph of Masechta Yuma. No, they're different families that they're being critical of. But Dianu Hakasuv Kial Elu Yomar Zecher Tzadik Lebracha. That's what it means. A Zecher Tzadik Lebracha. Kiayu Morim Umelamdim Kol Harotze. That he would teach and direct all those that want. So that's what you learn about Betzal. Right? That not only was he very wise, but he was able to teach and be wary of those that don't have that ability. That also is what's being taught by the Or HaChaim. If you are very wise, so make sure you also learn the ability to teach as well. That also, if you want to teach, make sure you know how to do it properly. With that, part of my teaching on how to learning on how to teach properly is to always end on time. So I guess I'll stop here.